Okokuqala, ngiyayibonga i-presentation ethulwa la. Eyokuqala, lo mthulo wokuqala. Ngisazophinda ngobuzo umbuzo wami ukuthi le mali abekhuluma ngayo ngabe le mali ka-2016 na akhuluma ngayo na? Bese ngibuya ngiza la ezantsi la ku-commissioner lowa mali. Okokuqala nje bengifuna ukwazi ukuthi uyabala la ukuthi ngosukela ngo-1994. Yabona le nto ayikhulumayo kusukela ngo-1994. Mina nginenkinga ngoba ngosukela ngo-1994 kunabantu kuyimanje abangenawo nhlobo amanzi. Nanabo abanawo amanzi kuyefana nokuthi abanawo. Ngoba bayahlala uthole ukuthi umuntu uphelela o-4 months amanzi abanawo. Njengoba nibonile na kusaphuma nasendabeni ukuthi lapha ko-Northwest amanzi awekho. Kodutshwa amanzi awekho. Abantu basathatha imigqomo bahambe bayempuleni bayobanga amanzi nezilwane. Ngidlule lapho. Ngize lana lana emandeni. Emandeni kuneplazi laphayana. Ngibuyela njalo kule yokunikeza ama-license namanzi. Kunabantu la abathola ukuthi banama-license, abathola ukuthi banamaplazi bayalima. Kodwa amanzi abanawo. Basahlupheka amazi the maphuma kulaba bekuthengwa kuwona amaplazi ukuthi bebethengelwe ugovernment. Kodwa ababakabi nayo indlela yokuthi banikezwe namanzi. Kuneplazi lapha ekane lasemandethe emandeni ku-Ward 3. Igama lalabo beplazi labalimi abamnyama ibheka mafa. Lela plazi lisenkingeni ngangokuthi masibuya khona manje. Ngifisa wena qobo na-commissioner ngithathe sambe nawo. Abantu bakuleya ndawo amanzi abanawo, ama-toilet abanawo, bazikhulula emoya emobeni. Abantu besifazane bakhona nabo lapha ngoba kuhlushekiwe nabantwana. Amanzi abawaphuza abaphuza amanzi edamu. Leli damu ngesikhathi kuseyilaba ababekhona kuqala babeneplazi ayethathwa lapha edanyeni lamanzi ahanjwa ayogezwa abuye afakwe ngeyindawo ngeyindawo abantu bawaphuza. Bese ngiya kuleya kuvuza kwamapayipi, i-water leaking. Bakithi, ave kumnandi ukukhuluma amahlezi la. Ngoba sikhuluma kamnandi and yabona le nto yesiNgisi ibona ukuthi ngiyasizonda. IsiNgisi senza thina special abantu abamnyama la besibahlalele la. Basilalele sikhuluma kamnandi beze beshaya izandla. Kanti sithi lala lulaza. Yabona labantu enikhuluma ngawo sekela minister through kwena sihlalo ningawenza amaplani but phansi akwenzeki. Yabona nje manje amanzi ayavuza bengasho namba phambi kwami ulokhuzana umntana wami nangu lokho akwakadladla bengikhala ngamanzi. Amanzi amaningi ayaweseka omasipala banendaba nawo. Okokugcina engifuna ukukusho yiloko ukuthi sikhuluma la ngezinto ezinzima la ezweni lethu. Nibe nibhizi nihambe nisitshela ngamanye amazwe angaphandle. Thina la nabantu esibahlalele kuye kumphakathini la ufike uyotshela ukuthi lalela-ke manje ezweni elukude oSudan kwenzeka kanje kwenzeka kanje. That's why ngithi mina zamani-ke nisitikhe lana. Lana esikhona ngoba thina nje bahlezi lana asifani nani. Nina ni-right nikhuluma ama-English nindize ngamabhanoyi niyele niyele nijabulela nina ukuthi nje nikuleli zihlale nikuzona. Anifani nina usize sithole thina siyahlupheka. Asinazo ngisho nalezi imali nina nindiza nehla nenyuka nazo hambe nibona zonke ezwendawo. Thina sihlala la sithathe leli senti lakho lokugcina utravele ngawuye kubantu ngoba abantu mase bekufunile bakudinga. Ngisaphinda ngithi sihlalo nawe lapho deputy minister ibuhlungu into thina sibhekene nayo ngoba yabona uma uyaphansi konakele yabona izinto esikhuluma la zimnandi zonke bathi phansi emadibengi umphakathi wakhona still izolo bukhali thina njengathi nje singe members of parliament asisakwazi thina ukuthi ngempela ke sicaba ngenye khona elinye ilanga sasakhuluma sathi lana thina njengoba sikuleli komiti sigcina sesiyo ngoplamba sasizonke into ngoba yonke into uma kwabona manje ngisho ubudlulu uyihlehlisa imoto uyayibona loo nto yinjalo uyabonke
Briefly, firstly, she wanted to know whether this budget that's been referred to is the budget for 2016. And then she referred the question to the Commissioner for Water, and she stated that since 1994, people have had no water. Even those people who have water sometimes go for months without water. In areas like Northwest Dutwa, people have to fight with animals over water. And then she referred to the licensing on water. Then she referred to an area called Mandeni, where people do have water licenses, but they don't have water. She referred to a farm called Peramafa in Mangete area in Mandeni Ward 3. She said there's no water, no toilets. People have to use sugarcane fields to relieve themselves. And then the third point she made was water leakages. And then she said, on the ground, water is leaking, water is being wasted, municipalities don't care. And then the fourth point she made was, she would rather we refer to our own country rather than being compared to other countries, because this is where the most suffering happens. Then the last point she made was to the chair and the DM, it's on the ground, people are suffering. At Madibeng yesterday on the news, it was shown that people still don't have water, and she emphasized that we really need to go on the ground and help those people who don't have water even today. Thank you.
Dr. Bono.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just have a few quick questions, and I'll certainly keep it brief. The first is with the DG's presentation, slide 7. Slide 7, Gepalisha. I don't understand what's going on in this particular slide. It's very confusing, and I'll tell you why. We have here a snapshot of provincial procurement, but we have no context. So what are the targets in terms of what was earmarked to be spent? Because the second column here with the percentage actually speaks is redundant because it says the same thing as the first column. It's a percentage of the total expenditure. So that second column is really redundant in both tables. So the question is, what is the target in terms of what was supposed to be spent? How does this compare to other quarters? It's hard to make sense of actually what's being communicated in the slide, so if they can please elaborate on that slide. Then if you go to slide number 11, again, you know, I think the challenge here is reference and context. So we're saying these are the recruitment stats. What was the audit in terms of the posts available or posts that needed to be filled versus those that were already filled? Was that based on an assessment of what the needs were? How does this help meet the need, and what is the projection going forward? We just see stats here, but it's not referenced in a way that we can understand. And also artisan as a category, my understanding, and I could be completely wrong, but I mean, you know, artisan is a broad catch-all category, which includes some of these other categories. And so that also needs a bit of clearing up. Then if you can go, Chairperson, to slide 50, right towards the end, when we speak about the drought interventions. Just a small point here, that we've been told that we can't get information on the number of boreholes in certain provinces, specifically the Western Cape and Gauteng, and that the information on the other boreholes here, in fact, is questionable. Why is that the case? Is there a lack of capacity to assess these boreholes, and particularly a province like Gauteng, which is densely populated? It should be relatively easy at least to get an assessment, some rough idea what the borehole quantity is. So why is it that we can't get this information? And then in slide number 52, when it speaks about the drought interventions, and it speaks about the fact that there will be 4 modules with a capacity of 3.5 milliliters per day, and that the target for completion is this month. So can we take it in fact that this will be completed this month, and then when can that capacity be realized that we can have this intervention assist us with drought alleviation? We really do need to know that for the record. And then finally, just from the second presentation, just 2 quick points. The first is that I think the presentation is appreciated. I think the point on the Gini coefficient, is good for us to know, and we certainly are aware of the glaring economic and social injustices because of the structural inequalities that still persist in our society. But what would have been good for us to see is how then a direct water investment can translate into a decrease in that Gini coefficient. So in other words, we're saying, if there's increase in direct water investment of this amount, it will unleash the economic growth or improve economic infrastructure to this extent, and these are the smart policy choices then that can take that economic growth and translate it into a way that actually reduces Gini coefficients. So that link wasn't really strong for us there. But the specific question, though, that was just a comment, the question is, there's a point made on slide 22 that we have these local interventions. I just want to clarify for the record, have there been robust economic evaluations on these interventions, proper cost effectiveness analyses, with proper comparators, with clear outcomes, so that we know that this is evidence-based, because this is quite a radical statement. And if this is in fact the case, how does this compare to the willingness to pay threshold? So, you know, how much money is there in the fiscus vis-a-vis what is needed for these interventions to actually be implemented? Because, you know, that is a gap that's very important for us to know. Thank you.
Mrs. Baker.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, with regards to the DG's presentation, some of it has been covered, so I just want to skip those parts. Page 25, so we're speaking about the water use licenses. The time frames for your water use license being there, on-site inspections that get carried out in the first 146 days, who carries out those inspections? Are those inspectors, and how many of them do we have per province? How many inspectors do we have? Where are they located? And just some information on that, please. And the... There was some stuff that was really... These proto-CMAs. Can you just clarify for me, what was a proto-CMA again? Were those the ones that are still in the process of being established? Okay, so we are placing, it's just a bit confusing for me, we are placing these 198 officials in the CMAs that have not yet been established. That's how I'm reading it. It's a bit confusing for me there. If I can get some clarity on that, please. There was a lot of stuff that was confusing, but... And then page 35, that slide is also really confusing, please. The water use licenses for other sectors. If you could just check the spelling here as well, it's a bit concerning. Mining, volume per cubic meter, how much is being used, and the values. If I look at the volume being used and the values, it's not quite, or is it just that we charge different rates? It's not quite tying up there, please check. And then on the other presentation, it was page 20, where you're talking about the new technology and stuff. There was no mention made of leak detection technology. Now, in my understanding, the majority of our water losses, or the biggest percentage, I should say, is from underground water losses, not above ground water, not at tap. Is there any consideration for, there's lots of new technology, leak detection technology. I attended a presentation the other day where you can wrap these pipes and all sorts of wonderful stuff. Is there any progress being made in that field, please? And then also on page 17, looking at that slide, is there a direct correlation between the high water losses and the use per capita of those particular municipalities? Are those municipalities the ones where we have a higher percentage water loss? Is that affecting the information on this slide? I'd like to know that, please. Thank you.
Mr. Bissell.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would just like to talk on water losses. Mr. Naidoo has mentioned a research that they have done study they've done in, it was released on the 12th of August 2012, where they say that 36.6% of our, we've got 36.6% water losses, 1,580 million cubic liters of drinking water every day, or per year, sorry. But they go further to say, and that's what my colleague has just said now, is that most of our water losses, and I quote, water is lost before it reaches customers, most of it, as a result of leaks and deteriorating water infrastructure, of pipe reticulation systems. Now, that was in 2012. I am 100% sure that that 36% could be much higher now, 5 years later, with where we are with infrastructure. There was a report in 2014, a task team appointed by the Minister Mulewa, done by Helgard Miller, that indicated that 70% water losses occurred in more than 100 municipalities in South Africa. And that report is 14 April 2014, if you want to go and have a look. Most probably that is not as secure as the study done by the Water Research Commission. But I think our biggest problem is that we are not addressing the problem. Now, Maribeng has been used, and if you allow me, I want to use just Maribeng as an example. Maribeng's got a 60 megaliter plant. That report of Alfred Miller was done specifically on Maribeng. Says that Maribeng loses 70% of its water. So we talk about 42 megaliters per day that we lose. If we ignore his figures and use the Research Council figures, it means that 22 megaliters of water are lost every day. Now we are adding another 20 megaliters at a cost of 280 million rand, of which also on 70% we will use 40 megaliters, or on 36% we will use 7 megaliters. And if we would have used the money to expand the purification plant, to fix the reticulation, and if we could have only then saved half, we would have increased the capacity of that plant without building any infrastructure. Now, I'm coming back to the 7 billion rand that we lose. We lose that money, and then we've got plumbers, and there's nothing wrong with that. But most of our water is lost underground. That's what the Research Council, Water Research Commission study shows since 2012. If we use 7 billion rand of money, and we can allocate it over a few years and assist municipalities to replace the old reticulation asbestos pipes, we will save a lot of money and put less stress on infrastructure that we every time just add on. I just want to comment on that from both the minister, the DG, as well as the research commission. Lastly, I just want to ask, the 235 liters per day that people are using, is that calculated on the amount inclusive of the water losses, or did you exclude the water losses in your calculation? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, go on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. DMDG Chair, I'm not going to go back what they are saying, because Honorable Baker's Chair took my questions, especially when we talk about Gaza. But I want to say on page 11, DM, the war on leaks program denoted the numbers, but could the department provide more information on the sustainability of this program. Shaheem sent off advising the skills of initial training. Will these youth remain in municipalities as artisans, or would the department provide a future enabling environment for potential learners to advance their skills to become engineers? No, thanks.
Okay, Mrs. Nangula.
It was a birthday yesterday, Chairman. It was a birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday. How did you know?
She told me, she said she's bringing cake after the...
Oh,
I understood. That's what I understood from it. Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. On slide number 9, women empowerment. I just want to get more clarity concerning women outside there. You spoke about launching of women empowerment. You even did mention the number of women who participated or who attended the events. You also again indicated the number of women who are going to benefit from that program. You said 60. But I also need to be privileged about the how are you going to get that 60? Are you going to get the 60 from one province or from all the 9 provinces? And how are you going to do it? Number 2 is on slide number... Placement, the challenges that you face when doing the placement. You did mention that some learners are not prepared to travel outside their local municipalities. I just want to get clarity on how do you do your recruitment. Is it based on the local municipalities? Because you did mention of the advert and also saying that you have seen that process of advertisement, it wasn't doing well. So with this second one, and I think the challenge that they have is the stipend that they're getting. 2,790 is too little. Because if really they want to travel from one municipality to the other, it means they need to pay something in order to reach that place. Meanwhile, the stipend itself is very much little and things are expensive. So why can't you review also that stipend, at least to make it better than this? Even if you can triple the amount which is there. The last one is on page 15. Oh, drought intervention. The board. I do have a bad experience concerning the board. I'm not so sure whether the experience that I have is only from where I'm coming from. But mostly, you find that the department or the municipalities use the boreholes as the intervention. But it ends up not assisting the process. mostly they will go and drill the boreholes, and they leave the boreholes without water. And you will fail to understand whether that was really the intervention or was just to give money for people who didn't do their work. Is there any monitoring tool that you're going to use or that you are using that you can explain to us? Because mostly the intervention in DM is not there to help, or it's not worth the amount that at the end of the day as a department or municipality you lost. Thank you.
Thank you once more, Chairperson. I want also to welcome the two presentations. Yes, ma'am. I have a question, though, just a few of them, Chairperson. One on the issue of this radical intervention. I think the principal has been, the president has been very clear on this. But how are you going to make sure that there's this radical progression, development, more when it applies to what you have termed that the weapon of progress, the triple PEE in the job creation, more especially when we come to rural areas? Most of the time it's not visible when you go to rural areas. Then, JM, you explained on the challenges, page 14 and 17, and where you said municipalities are reluctant to take those interns, those people who have been trained. Did you have any pre-communication arrangement with the municipalities? When the program, when these people were taken, and how did they respond to that? And on the issue of the 300 days of licensing, DJ, can you assure us if the 300 days lapses, or lapse, I don't know what is a good term for that, what steps, action can you take for those pro CMAs if they didn't do their job? So that next time we do an oversight on that one, we know exactly what it is we are supposed to do.
You could confirm that.
And if you can be eloquent, when do these 300 days start? Because there are people who have already applied for the licenses. Do we start after the after March, as you have said, or we start from the people who have already? Where do you put those people who have already applied? In your deliberation, you touched the CMAs. The catchment management agencies. And you said there are two. The one that you know, Komati and the like. There are seven that are left that have not been established. To me, this is a statutory thing. According to the National Water Act, Chapter 7, that those have to be established. What's the delay? You will remember that around 2015-2016, around 2015-16 there will be file and only fund, which will be established. There will be also the Mpompo and Northwest and Paul. What's happening with those? What's the plan about those ones? And when you are issuing these licenses, there are places which were previously classified by the provinces as protected areas. I remember one in Mpumalanga where it's a wetland. What are you going to do with those the places in case there are people who want to apply for licenses of those oil, more especially for mining. And then last but one, in the NDP, we are all gearing up towards 2030. To now is 2017. We're left with 13 years. If my mathematics still serve me well. Is it serving me well? 13 years. Was speaking about the National Water Infrastructure Agency establishment. Was still speaking about those things. And 13 years to go, we are left with 2 years, 2.5 years. We want to see this thing established in our terms. What is the plan? What is the plan, department, on the establishment of the Water Infrastructure, National Water Infrastructure Agency? When the National Water Act 1998 said we must transform irrigation boards. The irrigation water boards were established in the Act of Water Act 1956. We are still struggling to deal with the 1956 Act, whereas we have with our own Act that we have already established, 1998 Act, which says water irrigation board must be done away with, and then we must have water user association. And when you read this 1998 National Water Act, it's very clear. It says immediately after this act has been promulgated, in 6 months, I don't know whether it means the chairperson that I read it incorrectly, but in 6 months, the irrigation boards had to be done away with, and the water users association had to be established. And I remember, in one of these reports, it does say that the department was given a year for extension. But now, it's 2017. The time frame, on page 65 here in the document, we have said that under sanitation, in Fricksburg, the state, you are doing a construction of the outfall sewers. But we did not see the time frame, so that when we make a follow-up, an oversight, we check how far are you, when are you going to finish. Chairperson, I rest my case.
Mr. Chauffeur, he has given me some of his questions. Very briefly, the first one, I would imagine it should be a straightforward one for our researchers and our content advisor to avail to us the preferential procurement regulation. They are expected to be implemented beginning of April. Those regulations, they can be very important, because a lot gets to be hidden within those regulations. I take it that those are treasury regulations that deal with the second issue, talking about the 310 around days for licensing of on water. I'm very curious. My angle there of curiousness talks more to whether or not you're talking about capacity there, that it takes that much, it's almost a year. Whether we're talking about capacity or we're talking about the number of applications that are there, of course the two are related. I'll be very keen or curious rather to understand as to what is it that takes so long for any particular license. Mr. Singh is here. I would imagine he would. The other regulation talks about water use license that is related to our National Water Act of 1998. Now we're still talking about regulation, and perhaps if we can also be
given that copy, or if there is anything that can be said about that regulation. Now, the other issue for me, where there is a crisis, we always have to establish an opportunity. The department says, well, that's what the newspapers say, that the department is in the red, 4 billion rand or so. There's been work done by the department insofar as a long-term solution on the AMD is concerned. Now, we visited the short-term solution plant in Germiston, that was 2 years ago, as part of our oversight responsibility. We were informed that the long-term solution will have to be in place in 18 months. Since then, or it takes 8 months, by 2018, for that long-term solution to be in place, precisely because of the crisis we might wish to find ourselves in. The water levels going up to an extent, the challenge that we might just to be confronted with is so huge that it might cause some havoc. That's what information at the time we were given. An example was made about the inner city of Johannesburg, wherein some of those main companies there are already shifting or have already been shifting their headquarters to somewhere in Sandton. Now, those are some of the things that were given. Of course, also the Bow system, river system, expected of it to be ready for dilution and enough water for that matter, as you are to deal with this long-term solution. Point I'm making is that whilst you are expected to pursue that AMD, especially the long-term solution, the point I was making earlier on, where there is a crisis, always an opportunity presents itself. You certainly do have a number of those private sector institutions and technologies. Simple question, why are we not making use of that? I would imagine some of the municipalities already, they do have such plans already in place. And the terms had been agreed upon, where in over a certain period of time, the asset then gets transferred, because those are transactions that are done on a concession basis. 20-year period, depending on the amount of money and also the investment, so to speak, and also how it might take, or how long rather it might take to recoup an investment. And for me, these are issues that are supposed to be put on the table and be discussed by the department, if at all the department is not discussing. Yes, it is the water that is to be traded over a certain period of time because they are to be recouping their investment. But the asset at the end of the day, it remains as the state asset, whether at local level or at the national level. Now I'm just making an example about AMD. I would imagine there should be a few other examples where in such projects are supposed to be. That's what we are currently dealing with, a challenge that says the department simply is finding itself in the red. The last point I wanted to raise, Deputy Minister, trying to be a gender activist here. Having been listening to the numbers of those that have been trained and still to be trained, and Dr. Forming is spot on. You know, these are all artisans, whether they are plumbers and so on and so forth, I would imagine. But how many of those, as we pursue a gender equal society. How many of those are we drawing from the women folk and also from the men folk as we pursue our programs of being gender sensitive as the department? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to go to the ladies, but I thought I should wait until you finish your but I would like to request that we divide these questions into various DDGs. And I'm going to request that the DDG for finance on budget, everything that has to do with budget, CFO is here to answer those. And also we have DDG Anil around us. He's going to speak on issues of water licenses. And Mr. Naidu, there are so many questions regarding your presentation. I think the interesting one is the one which was asked by the chairperson, which talks about climate change and mitigation programs. And also Mr. Basson asked about underground, how do we detect the water leakages underground? And there are so many, and I will come back and answer some of the questions, and also DG, who will come in, some of the questions that have to do with the program of war. Thank you very much. Can we then ask the CFO to talk to Honorable Makaula's question, the first question?
Thank you very much, Chair and DM. The DG was referring to the current budget of 16-17, giving the progress to date. I will also touch on the issues of the procurement targets on slide 7, where we talk about SQEs. The annual target is 30%, the QSEs is 15%, and the EME is 15%. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, colleagues, DG. Thank you very much. I will begin with the questions that pertain to the work in my portfolio. Honourable Kaula's question was regarding a specific farm in Mandeni where there is a water license but there is no water. I think then it could be that there is a problem of water, it being a water scarce part of the catchment or part. What I will undertake to do is to get the details from Mama Kaula now after this meeting, and then we will get the KZN team to look into this Becky farm and
what Bekamafa. Bekamafa.
Bekamafa. Yeah. So we will get the details and then we will come back to that. But I can think that if they have a license, they should be able to use water according to their license. Then the Honourable Baker's question. Yes, ma'am. They
just on that one on Mrs. Kaula. All the questions, they are a committee question.
Yes.
So whatever response comes through to the committee secretary,
yes.
And then it gets fielded to all the members. Thank you.
Fine. Thank you, Jefferson. I meant that it will come back. It will come back in writing to the committee. Honourable Baker's questions. So I have to give a context to the licensing. And I'll do that. First of all, the DG mentioned that the 300-day time limit is legislated. It came about in the 2014 Amendment Act to the National Water Act, which dealt with the so-called One Environmental System and the Integrated Licensing. So the three departments that deal with authorizations for mining, DMR, Mineral Resources, and DIA, which is the Environment, and us. And the purpose of having this legislation, and this legislation was brought in 2014, is to have an alignment of the licensing regime for mining because of the high priority of mining in terms of job creation. So the 300-day time limit is actually the outer time limit, the maximum that you go. But if you look at the slide that shows the breakdown, should the department receive all the information on time, then we would be able to process an application in a shorter period. We have the experts to be able to do it. And a lot of them are actually processed in a shorter period than the 300 days. So regarding the inspections, now when we issue a license, the license has got conditions. The department officials, the compliance monitoring team in my unit deal with the inspections to go to the mine, check that the conditions are being adhered to, that the mining operation is not impacting negatively on the water resource. So we have a team, dedicated team at head office and at the in the 9 water management area, so which is basically the catchment. So around the proto-CMEs, ma'am, the two, I must give the context again. The act came about which called for catchment management agencies. Didn't stipulate the number, but it called for catchment management agencies that would do integrated water resource management at local level. In other words, per catchment. The idea was to decentralize it and to have people who are living in the catchment to be part of that decision making about the interests of the catchment. So the two that we have operating is Breda Chorus here in the Western Cape, and we have the Nkomati Usutu. Now the proto CMAs are within the department, they're not out of the department. So the 198 officials that we are giving or we are recruiting is to assist, we will divide them in terms of the catchments so that they can have better capacity to process the licenses faster. So they're not going to be two catchment agencies which are operating entities. So the 198 officials are within the department for the 7 under incubation. So that's how we're going to capacitate the team. Then the rates, ma'am, the correlation of the rates or the volumes and the output, etc., is because the each sector has got a different rate. And the total volume, we can give a breakdown of the total volume. That was just a snapshot of the slide. But the breakdown is because we are charging different rates for the different sectors. And probably mining would be higher. So then, moving on then. And I do want to apologize for the spelling error of hectares. I think we just slipped up there on that one. Then, Honorable Nguni's question. The 300-day time, as I indicated, is the outer limit. If the department should not do the license within 300 days, then we would have to have a very good reason why we didn't do it. But most of them are dying within the 300 days. One of the things that could delay it is, for example, the technical reports that are needed regarding the mining operation, etc. But we have, so what the president spoke about in the SONA was that we have to cut the red tape. What we have shown in the presentation is all the interventions done by us together with the other departments to make the regulatory regime far less burdensome and far less onerous in terms of compliance. But we can rest assured that that if there are lapses or there are delays, so we have all the systems, but problems might come in the fact that the people who manage the systems are not doing their job. But if those people don't do their job, then there will be consequence management for them. So as I indicated then, when we start calculating the 300 days is when we have a complete set of information. the application plus all the supporting documents. Then we start calculating the 300 days from then. Right? So that is basically one of the biggest challenges that we have. We receive incomplete applications. And if we log them onto the system, or we give them a number, then it becomes that, no, we can't do anything with this because it's incomplete. So we assist the applicants to complete all the information plus the specialist studies, etc., and then we start calculating the 300 days from them. Now, sir, your question regarding the protected areas and the wetlands. When we issue a mining when the DMR issues a mining authorization, the DR issues environmental authorization, and the department issues a water authorization. So that thing is a one-line process as brought about by the One Environmental System and the Act. So there's careful attention paid to if we are going to give a license in a protected area or a wetland span, then we have to look at the safeguards. What is the safeguard that we have in the conditions to safeguard the protection of the water resource? Because once the resource is damaged or devastated, you cannot replace the resource. So the license would have very strict conditions around that. There have been instances where we have granted licenses around what is called protected areas, and then what is the wetlands or the pans. But the challenge for the country, I suppose, is on one hand protection of the environment and the water resource, whilst on the other hand, job creation. If you take some of these distressed areas and mining is granted, the mining permit is granted by the DMR, then I think each department looks at protecting its own mandate. Our mandate is to protect the water resource. But if there's a danger to the water resource, then we would decline the license with reason, or we would issue the license with very, very careful conditions. Sir, regarding the CMAs, I did speak about the CMAs. So the DG is correct to say that it came about from the legislation in 1998, and it is legislated. And in 2013, we also took cabinet approved the policy decisions. But the reality is that we now have to reflect on, in light of the cost containment, in light of also what is the rationalization. So the rationalization says we shouldn't have too many entities that we're not able to control. So if we keep the concept of the catchment management agencies, but we look at the governance arrangements that could be different. And that's what we are reviewing at the moment, and we'll come to present that to the committee. Honorable Winnie's question, the NDP talked about the agency. The department is proceeding with the establishment of the agency, and we have appointed a service provider that is going to deal with the agency. Again, for the agency, the modalities of how this agency is going to work and the governance arrangements. So we'll get an expert team that is going to look into it and advise us about the options. But the principle is that we will have the agency. The first part is the options analysis of how the agency should be as an entity, and secondly, the due diligence of the agency, then the business case which we take to cabinet, and then a new piece of legislation to create the agency. So that is the priority of the department. So the irrigation boards for transformation to water user associations, that process has, the minister has approved the roadmap to transform them, because it's true that a lot of the irrigation boards are untransformed. And the fact of the matter is that the irrigation boards sometimes are lacking in transformation in terms of access to water to resource poor farmers, etc., etc. But the roadmap, which we can come back and present to this committee, will show you what is the process of how we are taking on board to accelerate the timeline. So the timeline there was extended, and now we're going to keep to the timeline and in fact fast track the process. So the chairperson's question around the 300 days and the capacity or the number of applicants, I've answered that question in terms of that the department is dealing with it internally. We do have the capacity, and where necessary, we are augmenting the capacity. Now, there hasn't been a decrease in the number of applications for water use licenses, notwithstanding that we are in a drought, but then we assess them according to priority. And then the chairperson's question was that the regulation, this 2014, the act came about in 1998, and then we had regulations dealing with mining, etc., etc. This particular regulations that are going to come in March 2017 is in response to the 2014 Amendment Act. It's not in response to the 1998 Act. So this regulation had to be consulted extensively, internally, externally, and now the minister is about to gazette the regulations. We consulted with DMR, we consulted with all the sector, and then this sentence, this regulation is the tool that will strengthen our licensing regime and the way we do licensing. And everything will be specified. If you will recall, the National Water Act provides that when we pass regulations, we must bring it to cabinet, bring it to this committee and present it to the committee so the committee can engage. So we'll be coming to present the regulations to you. On the AMD, the chairperson's question was around the short-term solution, the long-term solution. The short and medium-term solution is dealt with by the TCGA, and the long-term solution has also been given to the TCGA. The minister later this week is dealing with the Eastern Basin launch. So the AMD, all the solutions that we have around that, the main issue there is the cost of these solutions. They're quite expensive. So the TCGA is looking at solutions that will be cost-effective and will be able to implement, given the fact that this cost of the AMD is being borne by the fiscus, by the taxpayer. So I think these are all the questions that were put in relation to myself, and I think I've covered all of the questions. And if there's something else, then we can come back in writing to the committee. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Just on because the chair asked whether the is in the short term, I mean, is there something happening or are we just going to look at what the cutting is and creating or so kind of. There is work that's happening in the short term. Also done by the TCGA. So maybe on that one we may, if you wish, we could have the TCGA just to come in, because I know there's lots of work that the Central Basin, the Eastern Basin, and some of that the Western Basin as well, on a short-term basis. So we don't believe that the minister, we hope we will not have a situation where you have a standard bank flooded by water and the downtown Juve because of that short-term work that is actually happening. There was a question about sanitation in the rural areas that people go to as a push and so on. That is a very serious problem. The sanitation backlog in the rural areas. Now, we have to say, okay, who does what and where do we put our money and so on. Because in the urban areas, for example, we can post about the flushing toilets and so on. And that one, I think we have done well in the urban areas, but in the rural areas, the sanitation targets are very much under. And we we go at the speed that we are doing now, even the UN Millennium Goals, or even our own NDP goals, so we will not be able to reach that now. It seems to me that education has to happen to say, okay, what would you, if you look at what the department has been doing, they decided to embark on the program, you know, a package of education. Now, the problem with that is that basically you will find that it was happening, but because of the need down there, as the member indicated, that no, but we've got this problem, why don't we just do it? And then why does the budget say something else? So you will find that the department actually spend a whole lot of money on those sanitation problems in the areas. Now, part of sanitation is the municipal road. So we have to say, okay, because the municipalities are not able to deal with that type of road, do we just put money aside and say, let's radically go into a sanitation in the rural areas? Otherwise, if we go the way we're doing, municipalities must do it, and the department does it, and we say, but that's not even your role. Okay? So I think that's where decisions would have to be made. That's how we tackle this. But it's a serious problem.
There are a couple of questions that I should address. But let me start with the acid mine water issue. One of the things that is currently happening in partnership with the WRC, the TCTA, and the department is we're going to be demonstrating 6 new technology options in the Western Basin over the next 2 to 3 years. And this is really important because the issue is the current proven technology, the high-density sludge and the reverse osmosis, is highly energy intensive and it is very expensive. At lab scale, we have 6 very smart technologies that have been proven that will be low energy solutions, more sustainable, more environmentally sustainable, that is, and potentially much, much lower costs. But they have to be demonstrated at scale. So we're investing in organizing for this kind of solution and recognizing that South Africa can be a net producer of solutions for beyond our borders, because acid mine water is not a local problem. It is a global problem. It's a developed world problem and it's a developing world problem. So this is the investment that we're making. But to address the question that was specifically raised, Chairperson, you raised the issue of climate change. I'm a little bit ashamed, actually, because we usually start our presentations with a strong focus on climate change. And you're absolutely right that we shouldn't take our foot off the pedal on that one. And there's a whole range of work that is working, that we're doing in the climate change arena. And regardless of what's happening in the conversations around the U.S. executive system right now, this is a global focus of great intensity. The World Economic Forum's Global Risk Register, which has just come out in January for 2017, has got its top 2 items associated directly with climate change. I mean, there's the issue of climate change failure for mitigation and adaptation measures. There's extreme weather, there's natural disasters, all associated with climate change on the top end of the risk register. And the fourth one that's part of that quartet is, of course, water crisis. So the global economic community regards this as the major issue to deal with in 2017. And there's a range of adaptation strategies and some mitigation strategies that we're working on. And some of those solutions combine, for example, water, sanitation, and energy solutions as part of the measures to do the adaptation. And we'd be very happy to come and talk to you in much more detail, and we'd be happy to send some information to the committee to keep you up to date with what we're doing in that regard as a science and technology community. The second set of questions was around the Gini coefficient and the direct investments. And, well, firstly, the economic rigor that has gone into some of this analysis is reasonably good. I mean, it makes some very fundamental assumptions, and of course those assumptions are always there and they're debatable. But they're very reliable ballpark measures, and then they have to be contextualized for a particular environment where there are specifics. The question you ask is whether or not we are doing enough to directly engage the Gini coefficient is a very interesting question, because it amounts to strategy. And this is some of the political divide that we have in the world. I mean, there are those countries where those governments are pushing towards addressing inequality as a primary economic imperative, and there are others that fix themselves on growth. And having growth, and South Africa has experienced growth, without having a concomitant addressing of the Gini coefficient is easy to do. And what we need to do is to re-engage that continuously and see how we can organize, because the Scandinavian countries demonstrate to us that it's possible to do both simultaneously and very well. In fact, a large part of their global economic competitiveness comes from the fact that they're able to draw on the full resource base of their society simply because their inequality levels are low. And this is something that that we should invest in and must continue to work on. Honorable Baker, the question around leak detection technologies, yes, many of them exist, and we are sitting in a space in the world where the technologies that we currently have available to us are amazing. I mean, we can now detect leaks from outer space. I mean, this is the range of sophistication that we currently have. What it does require is investment. And so what we've been doing together with the department and the minister is to say, you know, you can't just organize to have the good science. The good science has to work. So one of the areas of investigation now is what are the kinds of business models that can come into play around making this happen? Because the reality is that these technologies, because they're not at economies of scale, because they're isolated, are very expensive. And the way the curve works is that when you get them to the economies of scale, then they would be affordable, but you have to get through that gap. So some of the business models that are being examined is upfront capitalization, where we're looking at tools of how to bring in people who, at their own investment, bring this in and organize themselves to get the benefit of efficiency gains in the system. Now, we've done this in interesting places around the country. One example that has won worldwide awards has been Everton in Vereeniging, where a company came in and put in an intelligent pressure regulating system into the municipality, dealt with water losses. The water consumption went down by one third. And there was a concomitant energy drop, and of course your carbon economy gets a positive benefit. And they had the right kind of arrangement with the municipality, and they actually made a substantive profit out of that. So these are the kinds of models that we're now starting to develop. And we're working with some very big players internationally around this, because it is a global challenge. Because one of the challenges around the world is that we know all these new solutions, but the current availability in public fiscus in particular is very limited. So maybe this will take us into the space that that we should be, but we shall see. There are attractions around satellite technologies to do this, of course. It's because you can use a satellite image for multiple uses. So you discount your cost base. But by the time you're ready to go in with the intervention, you need very localized knowledge. And that involves a very localized analysis. But we're also at that point in the world where we don't have to do what we used to do before. We don't have to dig up kilometers of pipes and replace them. We can now inner sheath pipes. So you put in an inner tube inside a pipe that has got some very smart properties around blocking up the leaks. And those are the kinds of technologies that we need to move into going into the future. And there is another reason why we want to make this investment, because one of the things that's becoming more and more viable is actually getting energy out of our reticulation system. Yeah, I mean, we have really good demonstrators of conduit hydropower in this country. Bloom Water, headquarters in Bloemfontein, runs entirely on hydropower now, off-grid. It harvests the water, of flowing water inside the system. Now, if we want to go into the large pipelines, then we've got to get into the pipelines. And maybe that will be the mechanism of investment to get in energy turbines into those pipelines. And, of course, the energy guys will want to lose absolutely nothing, so they'll make sure that nothing leaks. So there's a very interesting space around that that could hold some very promising solutions for us. And I hope we manage to get there. Because in a 7.2 billion rand, if you put an inflation number on that, from 2012 to 2017, it becomes a very big number. Well, 7.2 billion rand is a big number anyway, but a much larger number. I think the cost-benefit argument is pretty strong. I mean, I recall that when Minister Edna Malema took this to Cabinet, she was talking about an investment of 2.2 billion for the war on leaks at that time to deal with the 7.2 billion. And the cost-benefit ratio was attractive and continues to. Mr. Basile, your first question around the 235 liters per person per day, is not discounted for the unaccounted for water. It's everything. It includes the loss already. But it is a very large volume. It's a massive volume. And it reflects, I mean, this is not personal use, of course. I mean, this is all activity in the country and dividing that per capita. But the number, when compared to the global average, is not attractive. The global average is 177. And Singapore is an interesting marker. It's a very developed economy. It has very water-intensive actions, and its number is 140 liters per person per day. And they come out of a past where they were using something like 500 liters per person per day. So it's doable, and it's something that we should engage in. Now, the issue around the updates associated with the water losses is, we will do another pulse indicator study like the previous one. We were thinking and talking about every 5 years or so, but we don't want to rely on this entirely. So one of the things that we have done, together with SELGA, is develop something called the Municipal Benchmarking Initiative, where the municipalities voluntarily engage with a league table on a month-to-month basis. Not even a year-to-year basis, on a month-to-month basis, where they share their data, they get a positioning on the league tables on various aspects of their water management, and then as a support tool, there is something called a master class for the water managers and engineers from the municipalities, where they sit down together and talk about both their problems and their solutions. And already on the league tables, we've seen some very useful movements of municipalities having improved practice. It's not all municipalities, but it's a significant number of municipalities. We're happy to share the information with you. It's actually available. But this kind of movement is what is going to make this move in the right direction. Then the question around the Women Empowerment Program, that's the Women in Water Program, the Mentorship Program, and the Network. The numbers have increased. We now have 70 participants in the program, although we initially catered for 40. It's just that there has been an overwhelming response, and they are, the distribution is right across the country, so all provinces are represented, and they're also in three different grades. There are a few, five, established companies in that cohort, and then the rest of them are intermediates and beginners. So what is happening is that the projects that they're being assigned to are being determined by the level of readiness already. The second thing around that is the mentorship program is gaining and growing leaps and bounds. In fact, there's going to be a major event during Water Week this year where a progress report will be developed, as well as formalizing the arrangements with very big, particularly construction companies, who have now come into the program with projects and with mentorship. So we are already in the space where we're talking to the department about what the next phase of this program might look like. And it's looking promising already. So, Chair, those were some of the direct questions that were put out. And I just want to emphasize the last point that you made around crisis to opportunity, and what the Chinese call the Weiji moment, where crisis is always a combination of the danger, which is the way, and the G, which is the opportunity. And the failure to recognize the second one means you're not going to get anywhere quickly.
Okay. The last one on desalination plant. The modular plant has been implemented, we have procured, it has been mounted. The target date is up till now for the mounting and testing is 28 February. However, the municipality, the pipeline that we need from after we have desalinated the water, then we then need to connect to the municipal pipeline. Apparently, we need a council resolution. The meeting has not said, we have promised that before end of this week they would have met, but then it then shifted our target date for the water to come out of the system by another 2 weeks, if indeed they meet again this week. If they don't meet, there will mean another 3 week delay. But right now, when we look at our program, we are envisaging that because of the delays in them meeting and allowing us access to their infrastructure, it will take another, it will delay by another 2 weeks, which means it's around the 14th, 15th of March.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just want to respond to questions that were directed to the war on this program. I just want to take you to slide 12. Slide 11 and 12. Slide 11 is telling us about the number of females for each intake or phase. And what I think we need to do now is to, because if you look at slide 12, you see the categories, artisan, electrical, filter and tanner, plumber, welder, water agent. What we need to do, Chair, I think, which is, I'm sure the slides are different from where I'm looking. But the question is, yeah, I'm talking to that one.
Yeah.
I'm saying, honourable members, is that what I've learned now is that we should, for each category, tell you how many females there are, and we don't, we should not. Because I told the department that we need to know, if we talk of welders, how many female welders are we talking about? Then I will make sure that, Chair, that you get that information, because you are the ones that ask about number of females in, for each category. The question by Mahabani that speaks about stipend, and the course is given, what is given to us is for 3 years. And we, as I said to you, that we categorized this 15,000 into three phases. My understanding is that when you study, it's not employment. And the stipends that we have is the budget that we have. We can't promise people that we are going to give you 10,000 when we know that we don't have. So the stipend that we have, because we don't want them to stay there forever. They must be placed, and once they are placed, they are going to be full-time, because this is not full-time. You are trained. Once you get the certificate, you will go and be placed in some of the municipalities. Or we also work with the water partnership, and they are keen, that is the private sector, they are keen to take them once they finish the study. And I also want to respond to a question that asked, who is doing this? Rainwater, ourselves, COFTA, Office of the Premier, Provincial Government. Each province has a team, that is a task team, which is looking at where the students are coming from. Our intention, Honorable Mahabane, is not to take students from outside their municipalities, because we cannot afford to pay accommodation for them. And the reason why they are trained in their municipalities is because they must assist their communities or municipalities. So the problem that we are faced with, Honorable Baker, the South African universities are not producing hydraulic engineers. Mm-hmm. That is why we are forced to come up with this program, because we still have struggling. That is why also Mama Makaula, we talk of checking other countries. Yes, we because I know Italy, they've changed the mine to be a water storage, which we don't have in South Africa. We have shortage of water storages. We don't have at all. And what we've learned from this drought, we've learned a lot from drought. We didn't know in South Africa that we don't have enough dams and enough water storages. It's only after this drought that we see that there is a need for us to train people, because we don't have specific engineers that are dealing with water issues. And I know that it's quite a problem in each municipality, that when a center doesn't hold, it's like they were not serious about making sure, Mama Kaula, you've raised a question about access centers amongst Nago. And it is true that those water agencies, Mama Kaula, Ababandu, Abandona Spatina, Sifuna Bangan in Jungiantu, but Shekishi Kapiako, but Shekishi, that is why city, as our water agents, once is equipped, because we can't do it alone with this. We have to do it with the municipalities. We have to do it with communities themselves. They must be in charge, because they are charged now for using water carelessly. So we say, after once Abandona Bangan, it's because of aging infrastructure. That aging infrastructure is a problem, honorable person, that we lose water through. That is why we're replacing new pipes inside. But it's not easy, because we don't have enough money to replace all of them at a go. So we need to do it step by step in phases, because the money comes in phases. We don't have money to do to South Africa as a whole. We want to do so, but we don't have enough money. The last comment that I want to make, Chair, is around... Oh, Makaula. No, I'm saying the advent issue, we could not, go on with it, because we saw it. Because remember, first phase, you are bound to make mistakes, because it's a new thing, it's a guinea pig. You have to learn from the first phase that the advent, it doesn't work, because some of the children don't have even money to buy the paper, and some of them, they stay in the rural. That's why we have to change and work together with WADA, COGTA, Office of the Premier, and provincial government to identify all the youth. They know, more special municipalities, the mayor would know where to find these children. And the last issue, Chair, is that you can't say, I have enough. The more people migrate to these big towns, the more they demand water. So we have huge work as this water and sanitation, Chair. I think, Chair, I've also touched on various questions that were asked, and if there are those that left, it must be a mistake, then we'll respond to those. Thank you very much. Lastly, Chair, I think I don't see DTG from sanitation here. And I think in the next, once we're called, we must make sure that we have DDG that deals with sanitation, so that they answer straight.
But with the new program structure, from 1st of April, they will be reporting to me. But I have tried up to now to familiarize myself with most of the issues in sanitation in preparation for the test.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I believe that most of the questions have been responded to.
Okay.
Do you want to say something?
Yes.
Yes, with the chain, yeah.
Hey!
Ngibonge Sihlalo. Umbuzo la njengokubuzeke la ukuthi la khona imali evela ya ku page 33 20KZN le mali le 1.5 million ekhuluma ngeyinhlekelele lesibizwa ngama disaster ngabe yikhukhula umbani isomiso ukuthi kuphi nendawo wayengibuze ngoba i-disaster iningi engakutshela ngayo abantu bepheshukelwa izindlu kodwa ngaze ngibone besizakala njengokuthi abanye befelwa zinkomo ngaze ngibone besizakala okwesibili leka salga emhlonishwa wami ngifuna ukuthi ke sibeke eceleni usalga yedwa kuba kuya ngami ngabe nawe uthathele izinyathelo ngoba omunye owenza lo mnyango wethu wamanzi ugcine ungawenzi umsebenzi ngendlela efanele ngoba usalga mnandi mayikhuluma mhlawumbe sikuma workshop mase kufanele ahamba silekelele komasipala to make sure ukuthi umsebenzi yenzeka akayingeni lo nto usalga okunye engifuna ukukhuluma ngakho la ileyo ukuthi angazi ngenza kanjani ukuthi ukulalela through kwena sihlalo deputy minister inkinga yalamapipe esikhuluma ngawo thina sisebenza kakhulu emphakathini nabo masipala nayo usaga njengoba ngisho banesandla ngiyayezwa la manzi okuthola ukuthi akavalekile avuza one way ngobukhelesi babantu yezi iqiniso lolushoyo but inkinga ekhona yile yokuqasha abantu abangekho qualified ukuthi benze umsebenzi ngangokuthi ngakuthatha manje ngikuyise kwenye indawo ko-154 uthole ukuthi amapayipi ayiginqikela ngaphansi uthole kwaleli pyipe futhi aligunyaziwe u-SABS ukuthi lolu cingo lolu ukuthi leli pyipi lingasebenza noma mhlawumbe ma ngabe kukhulula ukuthi kungena infrastructure phansi kufakwa i-sewer pipe. I-sewer pipe inesikali ukuthi kumbiwa kangaka, kunomhlabatho leyo ngaphansi nendwangu nangaphezulu. Kodwa uthole ukuthi le contract because ijahe ukurisha lesikhathi esibekelwe sona ihambe iyothola ibhonasi kumasipala. Thothi ayikwenzi loo nto, le garanti ebekiwe ayiyenzi. Ezinye zezinto eziwumthelela. Le nto ngikhuluma nge-experience mina njengomuntu osebenzile phansi engibonile sishawa abantu emphakathini ngenxa yobudedengu babantu. Okokugcina, yile nto yokuthi angazi bengenzeka kanjani ukuthi abantu lezi ndawo zama-hostel, lezi kakhulukazi amapulazi, ke siye kuzona. Ngoba uyabona kukhona lana into embi, especially thina njengosopolitika. Sifike sithi simele abantu base-South Africa. Singasho ukuthi thina samasela ase-South Africa. Ngilisebenzisa kanjani ningangizwa kambi. Bayaya kubantu kulaba basemapulazini. Bangene kabuhlungu khona, hambeka kabuhlungu emapulazini, uma ngiphuma khona nje. Uma bengena khona bafika bayibantu babatshele iy'nkinga zabantu bayocela amavoti, bontshontshe amavoti. After when sebehambile sebebantu sebebavotele kuphela babakhohlise nje just nama-parcel food emva kwalokho abasakunaka bona lezi nkinga zakomangethe iy'nkinga ey'ndala lokho kumina sekunginika ukuthi angazi besingenza kanjani ukuthi ngempela ngempela sazi amapulazi esinawo sazi iy'nkinga ey'khona ngoba khona ukuthi ukhulume ngale nkinga kanti khona ezinye esingayiboni and ibuhlungu into eyibona yenzeka kubantu bakithi yingane abantu besifazane ngoba niyazi la khona khona umuntu wesilisa nomuntu wesifazane ukhona ngoba umuntu wesilisa ayakaphile ngaphandle komuntu wesifazane. Ngiyabonga.
I thought it was to be a process of translation.
Oh, okay, no. Let me give that opportunity. Just briefly, on page 33 in KZN, there's an amount of 150 million rand which was set aside for disaster management. Where was this money utilized? And then SALGA is one of the roots of the department failing. There's no action being taken by SALGA. Three, the leaking of water. The reason why this happens mostly in municipalities is because people who are unqualified are hired to work on this project. And then sometimes you find that the material that's used, like the pipes, they're not SAPS approved, so they're not sufficient. And then you find that sometimes the company that is hired to do the job hires the job because they want to reach their time frame and get their bonuses. And then at the end of the day, people on the ground are suffering. And the last point is the issue regarding hostels. We should do oversight on hostels, go to farm work, do oversight on hostels because people are able to go to farm workers to campaign. They deceive them by giving them food parcels, but they don't actually do oversight on hostels. Then the last point is we should know the number of farms so that we can assist them and get all the help that they need, because where there's a woman, there's always a man. Thank you.
Black corner, my daughter, corner.
Chairperson, can you take off?
Okay. I would have loved to hear more of work done than reports. That are more academic, if I were to use the word. When I hear you, Mr. Naidu, you're talking about some technologies that are there. South Africa has got almost a surplus of those. Now, you're making an example about one municipality that is already into use of some of those technologies. And also make another example about Bloomwater. That is also in full use of hydro. And the question that arises from where I'm seated, what stops us from implementing full blown into those municipalities? If you are to be able to say in one municipality, there is no need of replacing infrastructure, pipes in this instance. Rather, you have a technology wherein you put in some tubes, that's what you say, that are able to detect and block any such leakages. I'm very passionate about action than simply being told that this is what is happening. You bring us more information. We're not interested in information. Interested in work done. That would be the first one. The second one, I hear from Ms. Martin talking about changes in the organogram. How I wish that as members of the committee here, we are appraised of the organogram as it stands, so that we don't get to find such shocks from time to time. Petunia is also acting in charge on the PMU. PMU would stand for Program Management Unit. So that we also get the fuller picture of the organogram as it stands currently. Yes, we have a sense of what is going on in your programs. But if we can be able, I don't remember us being exposed to an organogram of the department. Who does what? Where does one fit in? We really haven't done that. As a result, we get a sense of not knowing at the end, you know, the puzzle that is there, where it fits where. Maybe in our next, in our future sessions, we'll have to schedule such so that we get a sense, a fuller picture of, you know, where all these puzzles fit in into this bigger scheme of things. Those are the only two things that I wanted to say. Thank you.
Honourable person.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just would like to get clarity on the Hartbeespoort Dam and the situation that the dam is in at the moment. It's like a green, huge football field. maybe pirates and other teams could run around and chase each other around there. But Chairperson, really, it's a huge problem in the Arctic area at the moment on the dam. I know there was a previous question that I asked. I was informed that that the research commission was doing some research with the previous project stopped on the river, and now we see what the result is, and it doubles up the area every 14 days, getting greener and greener. So, you know, it's going to be a huge problem, and could we get a response from the department on that? Yeah.
So I think I'll be helped by the research council in this matter. But what I know, Honourable Baswan, is that we're getting complaints from various provinces that the dams are dirty. Not only dirty, but some of them are full of sand, which we think whether CFO have money to do the cleaning of the dams and rivers. And also the Department of Environment, which also is their responsibility to do that work. So what is needed here is to come together with the Department of Environment, because sometimes there is, you know, people that are doing various issues, which you might find that environment does do this, we also do this. So what is needed is to come together, put budget together, and make sure that we go and check all these dams, because we need to clean them, because when the rain comes, the dams must be clean. But I'm not quite sure whether you're referring when you say it's green and it's dirty, whether it's dirty. So that's why I say most of people are complaining about dirty rivers and areas that need to be cleaned. I don't see Mr. Trevor here, but I think Mr. Naidoo can respond to that. And also Ali, thanks.
Thank you. We did respond to questions to Honorable Dasan and other people around the problem of others. So in summary, the program of Artis Ametsi, which was the program where we had workers who were cutting the hyacinth and dealing with the floating islands. So the research commission was given the task to do an external review that of the efficiency or the efficacy or the success of that one, and they did give us a report. The department has started, the contract came to an end. We had appointed Rand Watcher, and Rand Watcher had appointed a company called Echo Group that were dealing with this Arctic amendment. That contract came to an end, and the department commenced the process to appoint new service provider, at least to re-employ the workers, and that went through a process of approval, but it has not been finalized. Then one of the other recommendations was that we use a different technological solution to the problem of the algae and the hyacinth. And that is the former DG approved for us to appoint a company that would present a different technological solution around it. So I think that is work in progress, but the dam remains green. And if, on a light-hearted note, if Orlando Pirates had to play Sundowns, the score would be 12 now. but I'm not a Sundowns fan. So, no, I think it's a serious problem, yes. And the Deputy Minister is correct. It's not, Arctis is a problem, but Mr. Tasson will be aware that the problem is caused by the pollution that comes from Maribeng and upstream. And we've now intensified our enforcement operation around that. So to give a definitive answer, once these procurement processes are concluded, we will come back and inform the committee about that. Now, the case of the workers, is a case that is in the CCMA. The workers were dismissed when the contract came to an end. They claimed unfair dismissal, and they are challenging the case against Rand Water and the service provider. So that case is still in the CCMA. We attended the hearing, but the commissioner will make a ruling on it. So we cannot comment too much on the case because it is before the CCMA. But there has been a commitment. We have spoken to the workers, and they accept that we have to follow the process of having procurement done to have the workers continue with the artisanality whilst we're looking at the different technological solution of maybe nitrification or bioremediation, etc. So I think, I don't know if Mr. Lider wants to add anything to that, but his report was received by the department in terms of the external review.
And
Ms.
Kowler's questions?
Could I have a next bite on the same issue before that?
Did you answer Ms. Kowler? Honorable Kowler's questions?
The
issue of farms and the like.
And 150 million.
If they can't, can you repeat that? Just in the
Mangiso.
Yes, it's the interpreter. Please, can you repeat that again?
On page 33 in KZN, there was a budget of 150 million for disaster management. Where was this money utilized? SALGA is one of the roots of the department failing. There's no actions being taken by SALGA. The leaking of water is due to an hiring of unqualified people. Sometimes pipes that are not SAPS approved are used. And sometimes the company, a contractor is hired. They do a rush job because they want to achieve their targets and they want to get their bonuses. And then oversight on hostels. Oversight should be done on hostels just like farms because people are deceived by food parcels. We should know the number of farms and assist those people because where there's a man, there's always a woman.
Thank you, Chair. The budget for 150 million rand was used in KZN for drought intervention. Firstly, around Richards Bay area for the desalination, as well as for the tankering services in various parts of the provinces.
I think some of the questions that are asked by Honorable Kaula are not questions. It's advising us and also statements. The question of unqualified workers, I think it's something that we need to look at. And also, I think we have no authority to, once you're employed by COPTA, we only look at people that are employed by Water and Sanitation. So at the level of local government, is COPTA responsible for? But in the next financial year, that we take people that qualify for a specific job, not just friends. Thank you very much.
Just a brief point.
Yes, thank you, Chair. The Minister, the problem is not, I'm not talking about the quality of the water, I'm talking about the hyacinths on the water. The hyacinths on the water every 14 days, it doubles. We will get a situation by the end of March, you won't see a colour of water on the whole Artisport dam. It will be covered, the whole dam will be covered by hyacinths. And everybody knows what happens with that. It gets rotten and then it goes down and then it intoxicates the water. And downstream, or when we've got, when it overflows, it grows in the river and it blocks. So we've had it in the past at the Maribeng purification plant. We couldn't extract water because of the fact that hyacinth went down the river and the catchment area where they extract water. That's a problem. Last week, children were on the dam and they were stuck in that hyacinth. It took an hour and a half to get them out of it to make sure that they don't drown there.
So it is really a crisis. It can't wait for mediation on the issues. It's like when it rains grass, if you don't cut it, it will just grow. And this is what's happening with this. You can't say stop rain now. You can't tell the Hisans, no, you should not grow. We're still busy sorting out our problems. In the meantime, that whole dam is under huge threat. And I need an answer on that urgently. They can go and have a look. I can show you photos. In some instances, depends on how the wind blows, you can't see the water at all.
Okay.
And sorry, Minister, you can walk on it. That's why I said they can play soccer on it as well.
It's quite difficult to say what to answer now. But I think what I'm going to do is to take all what you've said to the minister. And we have a new teacher now, Honorable Person. I see him taking notes. And what you've raised is something that we make sure that we make a follow-up on it. Because I don't want to promise things here. And then you say to me, you said this, Deputy Minister. But I agree with you fully, Honorable Person. And it's something that we need to look at as the department. We will also visit that dam and check exactly what you're talking about. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Chairperson, for offering me this.
Sorry, sir. Before, oh God, when you could bring them.
No. I think we must. At least close now.
No, we're going to go to the house.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to say. No, government minister, child. If you're going to go to the house, you're going to go to the house. I'm going to go to the house. Because ngoba izi inkinga ikhona hayi ndaba ukudlala ukuthi yena wazini kugcinaphi kwenzakalani after dina zambili ngiyazi ukuthi khona into eyikhona kodwa ngifuna akachaze la ngoba inkinga isenjoba zinjani emva kwethu ngiyabonga
from Mrs. Mathe, can we just have a briefing regarding Kathleen, the last area where oversight was done? Can we please have an update regarding this area?
Ogo to Swenzi.
Thanks, Chair.
How far?
Can we give the Chair just 1 minute?
We have a session on Friday.
Mm.
Makalis is coming. So those are some of the issues that we'll get a briefing on.
Yeah, but thanks.
Chair,
thanks.
Can
yeah.
Can I just explain, because in the last meeting that we had, we had planned to appoint Makhalis to deal with the issue of Kathleen. And we had promised that a letter had been written. Indeed, a letter had been written, but subsequent to us taking the letter through for a directive to Kathleen, we were then informed that we got our allocation letter. Budget was again drastically reduced. And then we then sat back and said, perhaps then we need to look at how do we do the project in-house. I have since regrouped and put together a team of young engineers to say it's not a huge design. Let's look at what we can do within our control right now, because right now there are no funds to deal with the matter.
Thank you. I think the question will come again on Friday. Can we stop there?
I shall call.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for this opportunity. And I hope all responses are going to be put into practice. I declare this meeting
closed. Oh.
I'm going to go to the next one.